Take your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Matthew.
Chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. One miracle that is recorded in all four Gospels, and you know it. It's the feeding of the 5,000 men, plus women and children. Are you hungry yet? But the book of Matthew chapter 14, you ever ponder the fact that Jesus had feelings for people? That he not was just concerned about their spiritual needs, but he had concern for them physically. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 14 of the book of Matthew, at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead. And therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John had said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. Now keep your place there. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your compassion and your love for us, your creations. We ask, Lord, now that each one that is here today would receive a blessing from the service. From those that are watching, Lord, may they be encouraged also. And Lord, we realize that we are going to be talking about physical food, but you are worried about our spiritual food also. And Lord, we just ask now your hand of direction at this time. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. Do you remember when you heard of the death of a loved one? Maybe it was someone calling you on the phone. Maybe it was here at church, or maybe you received a text. What a terrible way to receive news, isn't it? By a text that someone has died. Jesus heard of it. Now, question, did Jesus know about it beforehand? He knew it was coming. He knew who Herod was. And we find here that when he heard it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. When they heard of what? Of the death of John? Or they heard that Jesus was near? That Jesus was near, right? See, how often when we have suffered a loss, we may want to be alone. We may want to have time to gather our wits about us over the fact that someone that we love has passed. But these people didn't care about John the Baptist. They cared about what Jesus could do for them. We continue, verse 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Okay, you have been blessed by the Lord Jesus. You've seen miracles. You've seen and heard him speak. And now he puts you to the test. Can I say this? I'm glad I wasn't one of the 12. You know, I remember school when the teacher would ask for a volunteer. I would usually try to hide behind the person in front of me. When the question was asked about something and I didn't know it, I would try to hide. How about you? The fact is, he's putting those 12 men on the spot right then. It says, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. 2 things before we move to Mark chapter 6. 2 things. Number 1, 5,000 men. How many women do you think are there? 5,000? More? How about children? So how many children, how many women, how many men, how many do you figure were there? Estimate. 20,000? Anybody want to go higher than 20,000? 25,000? Do I hear 26? 20,000 plus people. That's a lot of people. That's more than we had in church this morning. Have you ever eaten where there was a crowd of 20,000 people and they were serving everybody? I'm not talking about being at Comerica Park and everybody can go and get things from the concession stands, or maybe you brought in a sub sandwich or something. I'm talking about 20,000 people who are sitting down in groups of whatever and waiting for 12 men to come and serve. But ponder this. Is there anything that smells as good as fresh bread? Don't you love the smell of fresh bread? You ever been over here to Great Harvest? I think it's at 22 and Hayes. You ever been there? You walk in there. Don't walk in there if you have a bad heart. And the smell, it's not the smell, it's the aroma. Wonderful. You remember when they used to sell those cinnamon buns at the mall? Cinnabon. Down by Macy's? Cinnabon. You would walk trying to lose weight, but your adrenaline would start running because of all the smell of that Cinnabon, and you'd gain weight. Yes, oh, it should have been illegal. They purposely blew the aroma out into the mall, didn't they? Yes. Now, I don't know how fish smells when it's cooking. Fresh fish can really taste good. Jim, do you remember that time I came up to the Keweenaw Peninsula and your wife were up there? And one of your relatives or her relatives caught some fish out on that lake and then they cooked it for dinner. That was really, really good. Okay, 20,000 people. The food is being handled out. How many of you are getting anxious? Are they going to have enough? When are they going to get to me? Now you say, well, Pastor Paul, why are you saying that? Because that's how I would have thought. I mean, that's exactly how I would have thought. You know, you go to a wedding ceremony, the reception, and there's 250 people there, and you can't wait to be able to get up and go, right? Or if it's being served, you can't wait for them to come to you, especially if the table beside you already has their food. Yes, it's going to be good because Jesus prayed and blessed it. If you would, the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 30. Mark 6, verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things both that they had done and what they had taught. Now, not only is John the Baptist passed away, executed, but his disciples have come back to report what they had done when they had been sent out. And verse 31 says, and he said unto them, come ye therefore apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. I tell you what, they were busy. Busy, busy, busy. Pastor Stephen and I are going to a pastor's meeting this coming Tuesday in Dearborn. You know, we support the Arabic Christian ministry down there in Dearborn. It's the one where a number of us went over to Dearborn and we passed out John and Romans. And I don't know how many were with us, but we covered the whole city of Dearborn, inviting them to the beginning of a new church there. Well, anyways, it's the same man, Brother Billingsley. He's been here two or three times giving his report about his work there. And the meeting is at his place there in Dearborn. And we're gathering together because you know what? Pastors need to be preached to. We need to be encouraged. The feeding of the Spirit is necessary. And Jesus says, you've been very busy. I want you to come apart. I want you to relax for a little bit. And verse 32 says, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. They saw him going across the lake. And they said, hey, we're going to go to where he's going. And so they went by foot or around the lake. And it says there in verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. As sheep not having a shepherd. Can I tell you what? Here in our world today, our people need to be fed. They need to be spiritually fed. They may have lots of physical food, but spiritually, they are in need of food. We continue verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. You ever been hungry? Have you ever been to the point where you just thought, man, I don't know if I can handle this? Have you ever been hungry, and you didn't have any money? Now, I'll be honest with you. When my wife and I first got married, we couldn't get credit cards. We couldn't. First, we didn't live someplace long enough. Or no, first, I didn't work someplace long enough. And then it was I hadn't lived someplace long enough. So, you know, it wasn't like I could go to Burger King and charge, you know, for a couple of Whoppers. It was hard. I remember we were finally given a credit card from Sears. You remember Sears? They gave us a credit line of $150. $150. Can you imagine that today? And I remember we had to have some work done on our red Pinto. Some of you may remember we had a red Pinto. And we went in and the guy said, okay, it's going to cost you about $255. And I said, we don't have credit for that. And he goes, I'll fix it. And so suddenly we had credit for $300 limit. But it wasn't like they had food available. It wasn't like there was a concession stand. You know, Jesus is talking over here and the concession stands come and they our people are able to go and get food. They're hungry. The disciples said, send them away Verse 37, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Do you think they could have afforded to feed 20,000 people? How would you like to have to pay for 20,000 people? What would you give them? Peanuts? Few pretzels? Yeah. Verse 38. And he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they all did eat and were what?
Filled.
And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Okay. You that are mathematicians. 20,000 people, and people are sitting down in ranks of hundreds and fifties. It's a story problem. How many groups do we have? A lot. Yes. Even if they're in groups of hundreds, how many groups do we have? If there's 20,000 people and they're in groups of 100. 2,000. 2,000 groups if they're in hundreds, and some were in fifties. So there's more than 2,000. Can you imagine? And how many people are serving? 12. Do you think they're busy? You ever been at a restaurant and you've seen the person that's serving eat something with their hand? I wonder if they ate anything as they were moving around through there. I'm just throwing that out. I don't want you to get too hungry. 2,000 groups. Oh, now we're down to 200? Wow, thank you. I'm glad. 2,000, I was getting more hungry than I thought. 200 groups. Even that's a lot, right? That'd cover quite a lot of land. 200 groups. Luke chapter 9, if you would, please. Luke chapter 9. I'm glad we got that figured out. Luke chapter 9, verse 10. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethesda. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitudes away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they had said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by fifties in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up of the fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. Now, you that have been here at our church long enough remember when my dad would talk about this thing. He would say there were 12 baskets, and that why did they have 12 baskets? To give one to each of the doubting disciples, right? And he would kind of motion, he'd give this one to John, and this one to Peter, and this one to James, and he said, believe, 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 believe that God is able to take care The book of John, chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 1. So all of that was the introduction, because I'm going to ask a question in just a moment. But we have to do it here because this is the only place we are told where the fish and the loaves come from. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. In the Passover, a feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude come unto them, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, he saw them coming. They're coming. How many people? 5,000 men plus 20,000 people. He sees them coming. Do you think it'd be kind of dusty? It was kind of a desert place. He sees them coming. The disciples are probably wondering, wow, look at them come. And then he asks about the food. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Verse 6. And he said to prove him, or this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Right then, do you think Philip wished that he had gone in another direction? Moved a little ways away? Nothing like being put on the spot, right? What would you have said? 20,000 plus people and Jesus talks about feeding them? Wow. Verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, what do we know about Andrew, other than he was Simon Peter's brother? That he brought people to Jesus. He brought people to the Lord. Notice what he says. One of his disciples, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? I've heard this said when hearing a message on this subject, that maybe the best miracle was that this boy at the end of the day still had food and that he was willing to share it. There is a lad here. Who is this lad? Who is he? We're not told, are we? Can I ask you a question? I've already asked you one, didn't I? Can I ask you another question? Could it have been Saul of Tarsus? Now you say, well, why? Well, Paul was taught religiously. You say, wait a minute. Did he know Jesus? There was a good chance that he did. Because did Jesus have a reputation? The news of him went all around. Now, you say, Pastor Paul, do you really believe it was Saul of Tarsus? I don't know. But can I tell you this? There have been children that have come to our church, maybe through a vacation Bible school, or someone brought them to Sunday school, and they heard the word of the Lord. And you never know what that message may do to them. I've told you the story how my dad and I went to a fellowship meeting and there was a man that was going to preach. And that man came to our church when he was a little boy. He lived down the street down here, an apartment complex that has been knocked down. And he came up to my dad afterwards and said, I remember when I came to your church and I heard the gospel message. See, you don't know what can be done when the message is given. You don't know. Notice, Philip, it says in verse 7, asked him or answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many. No name is given. But wherever the word of God is spoken, there's the testimony of this young boy. Isn't that something? That there's a testimony of a boy that was willing to give all that he had. Isn't that amazing? He was willing to give. Now, let me say something here. Brother Wutke signed a check today for $1,000 to Beams. You know, that's a great thing to be able to give Bibles to people who don't have Bibles. The majority of you, all of you probably here, give to offerings, give tithes, give to missions, and this was above and beyond that, wasn't it? You were still willing to give. Thank you for your willingness to share the gospel in this form of sending forth the word of God. There is a lad here. What a marvelous thought. How many people were blessed because of him? How many people went home that day and said, "You should have been there. That bread was fantastic. That fish was amazing." All because one boy was willing to give. Verse 10, and Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise all the fishes, as much as they would. Now, in one of the recordings of this, they were all full. Okay? Now, there's a difference between being full and having all that you want. Would you agree? I mean, you have seconds or thirds at a reception. You have more than what you really need. You've been full, but now you have what you want. Notice here it says that they had as much as they would. Are you getting hungry yet? I'm about to quit because my stomach is starting to roll. Notice verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." When they had what? Seen. Why were they able to see it? Because a young boy gave what he had. Thank you for giving. Thank you for being willing to send forth the gospel, both here in Sterling Heights and the surrounding area and around the United States through our home mission projects and around the world. Because someone gave, souls are saved. Because someone was concerned, the message was taken forth. Thank you so much that they can be fed spiritually. Shall we stand together? We'll sing a song of invitation. Maybe you'd like to come and pray here at the altar, or you can pray there where you're at. And as we sing 470, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus," I think it'd be great if someone decided to follow Jesus because of our testimony. Pastor Stephen was out Thursday, I think it was, or Friday. Wednesday. There was only 7 picks, and I knew it wasn't Sunday. But he was out passing out papers, and he began to talk to a young man and led him to the Lord. We were hoping they'd be in church today. Maybe this coming Sunday. But the fact is, the message needs to go out. That we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this time that we have as we sing a final song. Thank you, Lord, for this lad, whoever he was. We thank you for the sacrifice he was willing to make so that others could see. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.